Once again, good evening. This is CMI Leadership Coaching, and we're talking about leadership. We're talking about the important facets of leadership, specifically developing a leadership style from developing a personality style. And it's very important that we understand personality and also human behavior and behavioral blends, because each person has a specific personality. And in fact, everyone has a predictable pattern of personality. As we talked about last week, it was the four temperaments or four types of personality were developed by Hippocrates hundreds of years before Christ, and they were given their names by Galen. And we come to know them in different ways, whether we know them from the early Greek names, sanguine, choleric, phlegmatic, and of the sort, or if we know them by the D, the I, the S, and the C. Now, in the 1920s, William Marston began to use the D, the I, the S, and the C. There are other people that use this particular way of doing it, but using only four. And we kind of find that the four is a little bit more simple, although you do have Kiersey that uses four major ways of looking at temperament, but he ends up just like Myers and the Myers-Briggs assessment and using 16 actual ways to do it. So when you focus on four different, the D, the I, the S, and the C, it's much more practical and much more simple. And when you define the D as dominant, the I as influential, the S as steady, and the C as conscientious, then it's a lot easier than using the ancient Greek titles that we sometimes still use. So let's just take a few moments and concentrate on just one tonight. And we'll look at the D, and many times folks just call this the dominant one, but it's much more than just being dominant. They're also directing. They can go from being dogmatic to determined as well. And the reason why I bring both of those out is because it's important for each of these personality blends and these types of temperament that we see that they have strengths and what I call uniqueness. Now, it's easy to say weakness, but I say uniqueness because weakness sort of denotes that there's something wrong with that personality or something wrong with that temperament. But in actuality, it's just an overextension of that strength. Whenever you overextend strength, you have what we would identify as a weakness. So say, for instance, your strength is being prompt, being on time. You can overextend that sometimes and be so focused on being on time. It's nothing wrong with being on time at all, but being on time that when someone is late, you might take their explanation as an excuse, and you might not always be as focused on making sure the person is okay instead of making sure that your conception of what needs to happen, which is being on time in this case, takes place. So it's important that we look at uniqueness. Now, and I'm not saying that there are no weaknesses. There definitely are. But you know how at some point in human resources, we stop saying problems at job and we start saying opportunities. I just think it's a different way and a different perspective, different way to sort of change it. So we look at not what's wrong, but what we can work on to make sure that we function the way we need to function in terms of leadership. So one person's uniqueness or weakness might be another person's strength. That's why uniqueness is probably a better word. If you want to be more successful and improve your leadership, you have to learn how to control your strengths and avoid your uniquenesses. And also you have to remember that when you're under pressure, whatever you practice is what's going to come out. So when you're under pressure, lean towards your strengths. So an overuse of strength becomes an abuse. And the best thing about you becomes the worst thing about you. You don't want to be known as that guy or that lady that always harps on a particular thing in terms of leadership. Then you probably have lost some rapport and lost some morale with the folks that are following you. And it's important, everyone that's on this call is a leader in some capacity. So it's important that the characteristics and the traits that you exhibit are something, are ones that people want to follow and people want to connect to. And so it's important as we look at the DISC model, we start breaking some of these down. Now, remember, when I'm sharing this information, there's hours and hours and hours on each one. So I'm just giving a surface. I'm just giving a cosmetic or gloss over of these particular temperaments. So if you have questions, definitely post those on the CMILC website. And that information will be addressed. Also, next week, not only will we talk about the I, but we'll also give some insight for those that are interested in taking an assessment with the DISC model in mind. So let's look a little bit at the D. And what I want to do is, in basically four or five different areas, I want to look at what are some characteristics. It just kind of gives you a bullet of certain characteristics if you were to be assessed as a D, those types of things you'll see. And all of us know D-type leaders. So we're not just looking at the personality. We're looking at it as a leadership style as well. And then I want to also look at the behavior in terms of style. What do they focus on? What types of questions do they ask when they get into a conflict? What is their greatest fear? What is their emotional reaction when they're dealing with an issue? What is their motivation? What is their desire? What type of leader does this D personality respond to the best? Finally, we'll look at what types of things they need to learn and what are some of the best ways that they can serve or help other people. So if you are a D, you'll leave this call getting a pretty good introduction on what your strengths and uniquenesses are. If you know someone that's a D, you'll probably get some better insight on how to follow that person or how to connect and cooperate them as they lead. So the first thing as we look at the D is we look at the fact that they are dominant. And that's the main word that you see when you see William Marston's original theory about healthy personality. Now, remember, this is healthy functional personality. This is not personality disorder or dysfunctional personality. And, in fact, Marston was one of the first to say that much of Sigmund Freud's work and Carl Jung's work dealt with dysfunctional personality. And he wanted to begin to develop a model where we could simplify what functional personality looked like. And this has been used in occupations all over the world. It's been used millions and millions of times to try to identify not only what the personalities are as followers or workers or employees, but also what leadership styles can be gained from this. So the first one is D. That's the one we'll focus on today. The D-type person is dominant. Many times they're stimulated by challenge. They're very decisive and they're direct. They can be blunt at times and stubborn. Okay, so first, that's the first identification there of one of those uniquenesses or what some might call a weakness. They are very big picture oriented. So they are one side of the brain, whereas another one that we'll talk about next week is more focused on the specific and more of the details. The D can be insensitive to other people's needs. Again, using that example that we talked about earlier, the D person that's focused on and worried and concerned about everyone being on time, and then all of a sudden an I comes in or an S comes in because they had an emergency. And it could be that there is a D that is very directive, a D that is aware of what his or her uniquenesses is and says, look, I could get upset about this, but I know things happen. I know in order to lead effectively, I got to be aware of what other people's situations are. Or that might be a D that might become dogmatic at that point and say, no matter what, you should have been here, you made a commitment, and maybe even go to the next level as to reprimand or give consequences to the person that didn't line up with what their standard is. So even though we're on mute, I can hear some of y'all saying, I know somebody like that. I know a leader like that. And so even if that is your predisposition, you want to make sure that you understand what your weakness is. And if you want to have more people following you, you're going to have to adjust and be more directive but less dominant. Also, let's look at some other, just some bullet points, just some brief ideas about the D. They are fast-paced. Now, we're going to notice when we look next week that the I's are also fast-paced. So let's say you are looking at this model, and you might be looking at it from the notes that you got last week. If you're not, you can take a sheet of paper and just draw a circle and then put a cross on the inside of it, and you would notice that that top left quadrant is your D. But that whole top half of your circle, the D and the I, both of them are very fast-paced. It doesn't mean that the S and the C are slow. It just means that the D and the I are driven by speed. They're motivated, they're ambitious, and they are very much high in responsiveness. Now, the dominant person or personality is also very decisive. They make decisions easier. Now, you can always see when a situation comes up who the D person is that they will always have a solution very, very fast. And maybe it's not the right solution, but many times it is a solution for the sake of not having to wait, not having to be aware of what everybody else is thinking. Let's just do this. This is the best way to do it. This is what the other companies are doing. This is what the other churches are doing. Let's go ahead and make this decision. This is the way that we're going to get money. This is the way that we're going to get constituents. This is the way we're going to get followers. And so the D has that answer many times. If you understand anything about the uniqueness of that situation, you know that sometimes it's important to be patient and wait and look at the numbers and look at the data a little bit more. Pray about it maybe. Talk to people about it. Understand what the situation is before making a decision. So we definitely need D personalities to be decisive, but they can also be impatient as well. They can also seek control. Now, sometimes situations warrant that we need people to take control when there's a decision to be made. We're in an emergency. I definitely would prefer a D person as an EMT if there is an accident. I don't want anyone that's indecisive and so patient that they can't handle the triage of the situation that's going on caused by the wreck. I want a D person in that situation. But I might not want a D person when there is a major surgery that needs to take place and I need a delicate use of the scalpel or, and you all can kind of understand where I'm coming from. So if there is a D in the operating room, hopefully they're balanced by those that can say, okay, let's make sure we understand what the research says about this. Let's make sure we've read the charts and the files right. So you can begin to see, hopefully, in every facet of life, whether you're in the medical field, you're in human resources, you're in ministry, at any mountain, as they would say, whether you're in entertainment or sports, that you see these, and you also, if you are a D, would want to balance yourself and your leadership style, have some counselors or advisors that come from the other personality quadrants as well. A few more things in terms of just the basic information about Ds. They are goal-oriented. And you're going to notice that in a couple of weeks when we talk about the C, that the D and the C are goal-oriented. So the left side of that circle are goal-oriented. The top of that circle are very fast-paced and outgoing. One of the other things that you'll notice about the D is that they are very, very competitive. And it's interesting, and in the current events, it was brought out that sometimes in our country, we're more comparative and competitive instead of dealing with sportsmanship and values. And it's interesting, it's probably interesting to kind of look at and research what are the dominant personalities of particular countries. Many times it's important as you meet leaders in different spheres that the leader of the group represents, whether it's D, I, S, or C. And that's kind of the idea you get from the company. For instance, Steve Jobs was an I, and you could kind of get that, his enthusiasm, his outgoing nature. He was very stimulating. And so some other companies might have a D as a leader, and you kind of, maybe if you're a D, you like that. He's a go-getter. He's decisive. He knows what he wants. I would say if anyone knows who the he's a dot-com startup guy. He's a billionaire. He owns the Dallas Mavericks, Mark Cuban. He's a very, very wealthy gentleman. He's one of the guys on the Shark Tank. He's a D personality. He also probably has some I in him. He's very outgoing, enthusiastic. He's a risk-taker. But those types of leadership styles we see from the heads of those corporations or from the heads of those churches. And sometimes we don't see that. Sometimes the board, the workers underneath that leader are all a conglomerate, a mix of D, I, S, and C. So sometimes we'll see one of those leaders, a Paul Allen or a Bill Gates, and we'll say, okay, he's this, so the company must be this. But in actuality, if he's a good leader and he's successful and creative in what he does, he probably has a mix of everything in terms of D, I, S, and C under him. And so the last thing I want to say in terms of the list is that dominant folks, not only are they highly assertive and highly responsive, but they're also very focused on completing the product, and they are more performance-oriented than people-oriented. And we're going to hear that term later, people-oriented. But just keep in mind that D folks or dominant folks are performance-oriented. Now, how do they... what kind of question do they ask? What is the main focus of what they consider? I would say that the D or the dominant type focuses mainly on how do they or how does one address problems and challenges. I call them the four P's. The dominant folks deal with problems. The I folks, influential folks, deal with people. The S folks deal with pace. And the C folks deal with procedures. So we'll go back and look at the I, S, and the C in the coming weeks. But just for right now, what we're talking about is the D. They always focus on how do I address problems and challenges. They are those that create solutions. They're ones that address problems. A lot of times you'll have your inventors or your innovators as the personalities. Now, what's interesting, I don't know how many of you are familiar with Thomas Edison. I'm pretty sure you're familiar with Thomas Edison. He's more of a D type. He's dominant, takes resources, very innovative, very creative, has a lot of ingenuity, outspoken. But many of you may have not have heard of Nikola Tesla, who created some of the patents and some of the ideas that Edison advanced or Edison took, and in many ways they were at odds, but Tesla wasn't the same type of person. So when you look at the notoriety and you look at how people perceive the greatness of Thomas Edison, many people don't know about Tesla because he had a different personality. Keep that in mind. The personality that you exhibit or you exude will determine how people look at you, good or bad. And so you want to, if you have a personality that people connect to, continue to operate on those strengths and make sure you have people around you to help maximize those strengths. But if you have a personality that could rub certain people the wrong way, you want to make sure you have people to help you develop those uniquenesses, if that's a word. Let's look at a few other things before we close out with the D. Let's look at the greatest fear. Now, remember, this is just a surface look at the D, but the dominant type or the directing type, the decisive type that we know as the D, their greatest fear is being taken advantage of. Now, that's one of their major hang-ups, is that when they're exhibiting their strength of being outgoing, of being assertive, of being competitive, of being able to be decisive and make decisions, they don't want to be taken advantage of. So many times folks, as a defensive mechanism, they don't want to be taken advantage of. They just make all the decisions. You may have encountered folks like that, hopefully not in ministry, but maybe in other facets of society and in other areas of leadership, folks that pretty much ostracize other folk, and they just want to make all the decisions and kind of control the conversation. Dwight Schrute talked about the authoritarian leadership style when he talked about Lewin last week. And a lot of times you see those authoritarians as D in terms of personality. That's their leadership style. They don't want to be taken advantage of. They want to be heard. They want to be recognized. They want to be validated. But they're not people-centered first. So they're not necessarily, they want those things, but they're not necessarily waiting for you to pat them on the back. They want to make sure the job gets done. And they don't want their ideas and their solutions for the problems to be taken advantage of, so many times they just go ahead and take care of that. Now, we understand that in order for them to be effective leaders, they're going to have people that are following them or co-leaders around them that constantly tell them, you're not going to be taken advantage of, you're valued, you're understood, and this fear is not one that you need to hold on to because you're doing a good job in terms of leadership. Another thing that we want to look at is what we call the buyer's remorse question. And what this basically is when they get in conflict, what do they ask themselves? A D person, when they get in conflict, when there's a problem or when there's an issue, what question is asked? And the buyer's remorse question for a D person is, have I been ripped off? Now, a lot of us have been through, whether it be a technology store or bought a car or in a number of different venues when we're buying something, we ask ourselves, have I been ripped off? But many times D's ask themselves that in the context of leadership. They say, okay, I've given an idea, I've given a solution to a problem that will help this company go as far as it can go, that will help this ministry excel and get new members and get new converts. And somehow the leadership style or the leadership model has caused sort of a stalemate or sort of a plateau in the development of the people or the ability of the people to follow what the vision is. And the D leader asks themselves, have I been ripped off? I'm saying this. Are they following me? Are they doing what I'm asking them to do? Are they caring about following through with the solution that I've given? And again, just like with the greatest fear, you have to have people around you as that kind of leader to say, you haven't been ripped off. Many times it could be your style. You're rubbing people the wrong way. Or if your style is adequate, it could be one of those things that solution is antiquated. The solution is out of date. We don't buy those products anymore. We don't use those books anymore. We don't market those products anymore because people are not really buying those things. You probably can see that in the telemarketing field when we talk about Steve Jobs, we talked about Gates. You got to pretty much update your computer and your software and what your hardware very fast because, and it was mentioned during the current events, our society is very microwave. It's very technologically advanced. And so if you're in that field and you're not selling tablets right now or you're not selling smartphones, you probably could be a good D. And then you look at your numbers for the quarter, the last quarter, and say, wow, why aren't we selling anything? It's not that your leadership style is not adequate. It's what kind of product are you giving? And that's for you, whether your leadership is in your family, whether your leadership is at church, whether your leadership is in a business or a ministry, you have to see and make sure that the content that you're offering is something that people want, that the things that you are leading, the values that you have are things that people can understand. During the current event, we talked about the homosexual issue on a number of different fronts, not only the same-sex marriage, but then also the first openly gay NFL player to be, Michael Sam. And if you're leading and you're assuming that all of your followers are against homosexuality or for it, but you haven't taken the time to survey them, to assess, to ask, to find out what their belief system is, their value is, you might find out that sometimes the people that are following you are following their church more than they're following you, or they're following society more than they're following you, or following the media, what television or what the radio says, more than they're following you. So you have to be in touch as a leader, especially if you're a D, because you're so goal-oriented and product-driven and performance-driven. You have to be in touch with who's following you in order to be an effective leader. Also, what emotional reaction does this personality have? Well, a D person, a dominant person, decisive person, directing person, their emotional reaction when they get into a crisis or when they have their back against the wall, so to speak, is anger. They usually respond in anger. And so we know that anger can be something that is productive when it's articulated and when it's addressed the right way, but we also know that we can make a lot of mistakes and we can lose emotional control when there's too much anger. And so the D-type person might have to have folks around them or even have a self-awareness where they know, okay, when this happens, I get angry. This is my trigger. When this happens, I get upset. So I might want to avoid this. Again, in review, the greatest fear of a D person is being taken advantage of. The question they ask when they're in conflict is, have I been ripped off? And when they are in crisis of leadership or trying to figure out what's best for their company, their ministry, their church, or whatever sphere they're in, their emotional reaction tends to be anger when they deal with issues. So if you are a D, understand that that's sort of where you are, and it just makes you aware of the fact that you need to have people around you to help deal with those things. If you look at scripture in Ephesians, Paul says, in your anger, do not sin or sin not. So it's important to be aware that there is anger there, to be aware that you're upset or that's a trigger, and then do not let that affect your leadership style, because many times you'll push people that follow you and can really help you away. Okay, we're almost done with this D, and hopefully you're gaining some good insight on how to be a leader if you are a D, or if you're following a D or want to connect with Ds, because Ds are very important, how to sort of deal with them and cooperate with them. Because in order to be a leader, you're going to have to deal with a lot of different types of people. You want to be able to lead these, and you want to be able to follow these as well. So lastly, I want to look at the basic motivation, the desires, how to respond to D leaders, what Ds need to learn, and how they can best serve. Okay, so let's look at basic motivation. There are two basic areas where they need to be motivated or they thrive in motivation are challenge and control. And I think we mentioned a couple of these earlier. One of the things that they love to be challenged, they love to see what the next obstacle is going to be that they can overcome, what the next barrier is. Remember, they're solution focused. They are problem solvers. They're solution creators, if you will. So they love challenges. They love to overcome. Now imagine, we talked about sports earlier, a deep person in sports. This is going to be your middle linebacker. This is going to be, can be your quarterback. This can be the captain of the baseball team or any other sport. This can be your point guard or the person that gets the ball the most because they love the challenge. They love to be down by 10 points in the fourth quarter. In business, these are the folks that see, okay, we were down last quarter, let's take this to the next level. Let's see if we can rebound. We have this big, and I don't know which side you're on, or you may not be on either side, but you probably have heard about the argument between Apple and Samsung, the Galaxy versus the iPhone. And no matter which team you're on, if you are D in either one of those organizations, your major drive and motivation is to beat the other team. Okay, what can we do to this next phone, this next tablet, this next phablet that we put out that's going to crush the iPhone or going to beat the Galaxy this time? But they're also operating on control. Remember, control is different than being in charge. So they want to have control. They want to be able to look at all the variables. They want to be able to look at all the givens, all the materials and resources they have, and make sure that those are maximized. They are very focused on maximizing potential and making sure that everyone and every person is on the same page so that we can accomplish this goal. But remember, and as you probably already know, if you've come in contact with someone like this, control can also be a negative thing, because sometimes instead of controlling situations, you want to control people. And instead of leading in a way that they want to follow you, you try to make them do something. And we all know that those types of leaders have a little bit of effectiveness, but overall they don't have as much effectiveness as one that leads by example. And as was shared last week, authoritarian leaders do have some effectiveness, but so do democratic leaders, and so do other types of leaders as well. Also, the desires for these directive, decisive, dominant, is ironically enough, freedom from control. So they want to control, but they don't want to be controlled. So that's interesting when you have co-leaders or you have a D person that's actually following someone else. You want to make sure that whatever you're dishing out, you can also take from someone else. You want to make sure that there's control. There are not control issues there. They desire authority. They want to be in charge. They desire varied activities. They're not people-driven, so they get bored when something gets too easy. So therefore, they like difficult assignments. They want opportunities for advancement. They don't want to get stuck in a dead-end job, what they consider to be a dead-end ministry, a dead-end relationship. They want challenge, and they want to make sure that they go to the next level. Now, we can all see the implications of what I'm saying in relationships and any other area, but just try to think of it in terms of leadership. Because for leaders, a D leader wants choices rather than ultimatums. But interesting enough, they're probably going to give a lot of ultimatums to other people that don't see their choices, that don't see their solutions. D people, because they're performance-driven, they respond better to leaders who provide direct answers. Now, so imagine if you're in an educational setting or you're in a setting where you're being coached or you're in a setting where you're being counseled, you want someone that's providing insider advice to you to give you direct answers. You don't always like the runaround. You don't always, as a D person, like to try to figure out things. Although you want challenges, if it gets even too much for you, you want to make sure that the person is direct so you can get to working on whatever the solution is. D's have a behavior that sticks to task. They like to get to the point. They like to have leaders that provide pressure. They also want to allow freedom for personal accomplishment as well. So if you are a person that's a D and you have a leader, you want that leader to show you that you're doing well, that you're accomplishing the task, and that you're the best salesperson. You're the best deacon for the month, or you're the best employee for the week for what you've accomplished. D's, the dominant, decisive, determined, they need to learn that they need people. They need to learn that they can relax. They're sometimes high-strung, so they need to relax. They need to understand that when they give control, that control is very needed. Control is essential, but you can't control people to the point where you push them away. They also need to learn that everyone has a boss, and that self-control is very important. It's a very important value that they need to have. So it's not so much that they don't like control, but sometimes they like to control folks and then not control themselves. And maybe you know some folks that are like that. Don't name any names, but maybe you know some folks. They also need, as they're following and as they're leading, to focus on finishing well. Because remember, they love the challenge. They love the problem and the issue that they're going to overcome, the barrier that they're going to break, and sometimes they get excited and get to the middle or close to the end, and they don't finish it strong. So if you know that as a D, that's your tendency, maybe you need to develop some delegation strategies to give, as was spoken of last week in the leadership information, that maybe you need to delegate if you start very well and don't finish so well, because there are other personalities that we'll get to in the next few weeks that they finish well and they're very much detail-oriented. And also, the behavior folks, they need to be sensitive to people's feelings. They need to know that for the sake and for the betterment of this company, this ministry, this church, this organization, how people feel is important. It might not be the most important thing to you. It might not accomplish the goal. But if you are so controlling and so dogmatic that nobody wants to work with you, then maybe you should have kept people's feelings sort of in mind. But then also keep in mind there are some great D's that have the advice and have an awareness of who they are, that they're directive, they're dominant, they know exactly what to do, they're decisive, and they don't push people away because they know they have a tendency to, so they make sure they have safeguards in place, and that doesn't happen. And last, but certainly not least, if you're a D, these are some insights that you would need in order to be of service. And as leaders, really what we are many times the head server or the head servant. Servant leadership is sort of a way that we can kind of look at this, where even if we're a D, we incorporate some I, some S, and some C, and vice versa. So in terms of service, Ds are very, very good at organizing and leading ministries, leading organizations, leading teams, leading committees. And one of the things that they excel at is committing to a specific challenge. We've all been a part of organizations or committees where we wanted to tackle everything. We wanted to take on the world. D folks are very essential in this because they say, let's get these core issues taken care of first. Let's make sure that we do these things so that we can accomplish our mission. Ds are very, very good at teaching. They're good at coaching. So if you are a D on this call, you will develop into a great coach because you give direct answers. You help people tackle the challenges that they face. They're very, very effective at planning, at advocating, and at leading in situations that it's difficult for other people to lead in. And so that's just a brief overview of what the D personality is, the D leadership style as well. Remember, they're dominant, they're decisive, they're directive. And there are some uniquenesses that we look at when we look with the D. There's control issues there. Many times they might forget to keep in mind people's feelings and people's emotions. But overall, if they are aware of their uniquenesses, or as we might call weaknesses, if they're aware of what they're strong at and begin to zero in on specific goals and strategies, we can see that the D person or the dominant person will be a very, very effective leader. And we hope that if you are following a D person, now you can kind of understand where they come from and begin to help them lead you even more effectively. And if you are a D person, you can kind of see some areas that might have been your blind spot that you need to work on, or get some people around you to help you in those areas. Hopefully, this call has been some of the beginning phases and some of the surface information to help you become an effective leader as a D or an effective follower of a D. So next week, we'll talk more about if folks are interested in taking an assessment, how they can do that, and also we'll begin to tackle the influential person, the I. Hopefully you all enjoyed the information that we shared tonight. Dwight Sherrod will be back next week, and we'll give some more keen insights on leadership. And thanks for joining us with CMI Leadership Coaching. Have a great night.